والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
Many Islam brothers, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, beautiful sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is whenever we enter the masjid, always enter with your right foot inside first. And upon entering, read the dua, Allahumma aftahli abwaaba rahmatik. So Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, we need to really think to ourselves whenever we are coming inside the masjid, as we are now about to enter the house of Allah. And imagine, a lot of us, we go to weddings. What type of clothing would you wear when you go to a wedding? How is it that you will approach yourself to another person when you go to a wedding? When you go to a meeting, when even you go to meet your friends and your family, how would one go and meet them? In the same way, my dear Islam brothers, but with more respect, when we come inside the house of Allah, stop and think to yourself, where am I going? This is the house of Allah. You look at yourself, you look at your dress, and you look at the way you enter the masjid. And inshallah, azawajal, once we have these rites and etiquettes in our minds, inshallah, azawajal, you will see that when you come in the masjid, you will be blessed with that as well. So my dear Islam brothers, inshallah, azawajal, with the respect of the bayan, a few good intentions, inshallah, azawajal, we will make. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, innamal a'malu bin niyyat. That your actions depend on your intention. So let's make good intentions that as long as we are in the masjid, inshallah azza wa jal, we will sit in a respectful and comfortable position and listen to the bayan attentively. Whatever we hear in the bayan, inshallah azza wa jal, we will try to remember it and then ballighu anni walau aya. According to this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we will pass on to other people as well. Inshallah Azza wa Jal. My Islam brothers, reciting durood and salam upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, many blessings, many virtues. Amiri al-Sunnat, Shaykh al-Tariqat, the leader and founder of Dawat Islami, Hazrat Allama Mawlana Abu Bilal Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri, may his shadow remain upon us, in one of his booklets, he writes a beautiful quotation from Al-Qawlul Badi, and he says that an old pious man, he saw a man in his dream after his death, and he asked, how has Allah Azza wa Jal dealt with you? He said, Allah Azza wa Jal has forgiven me. The pious man asked, for what reason? And he says, I used to write hadith in company of a muhaddith, and once he recited salat upon the Noor, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So I recited Salatul Nabi loudly. When everyone heard it, they too recited the Salat and Durood upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, by virtue of this, Allah Azza wa Jal has forgiven all of us. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa barik wa sallim. Once Allah Azza wa Jal, he sent a revelation upon Sayyiduna Sulaiman bin Dawood ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam, ordering him to visit the bank of the ocean in order to witness the demo of his power. Sayyiduna Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa salam, He went there with his companions, but did not see any notable thing. Therefore, he, Allah Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam, ordered a jinn to dive into the ocean and bring the facts from the deep. After coming out of the ocean, the jinn said, "O Prophet of Allah, I could not reach to the depth of the ocean, and neither did I see anything, any noticeable thing." He, alayhi salatu wa salam, he ordered another, more powerful jinn. That jinn dived twice as deep as the first jinn, but he could not bring any information. So jinns, in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is mentioned that this is another creation of Allah. Just like there are humans, there are jinns as well who live in this world. And just like humans, they are born, they die. In the same way, the jinns, they are born and they die as well. And how many jinns are there? And from the books of the scholars, we find there are 9 times more jinns in the world than humans. I mean, imagine going to a very, very crowded place. You know, just take the Hajj for instance. You know, more than 5 million people gather for Hajj every year. Imagine how many people there are. You know, and we sometimes think there's loads of people here. Now, compare that to 9 times as much jinn as well. That's just to give you an example how many the jinns are in this world. But they have a limited power. Jinns are more powerful than humans. Very, very powerful. Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa salam, when he built Masjid al-Aqsa, he ordered the jinns. And even today, scientists don't have a clue. How is it that these very, very big boulders and big stones, how can people carry them when they didn't have even any cranes at that time? How could they achieve that? So my dear Islam brothers, Islam tells us that it was the jinns who built that masjid. And alhamdulillah, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he says that jinns, they are powerful than humans. But when it comes to a wali Allah, a awliya Allah, how powerful are they? It says that Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa sallam, he then ordered his minister, Sayyidina Shaykh Asif bin Barkhiya, rahmatullahi ta'ala. He was very, very close minister of Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam. And he says that very shortly, Asif bin Barkhiya, rahmatullahi ta'ala, he dived into the ocean and he brought back a grand 4-door white-colored dome in the blessed court of Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam. And one door was made up of pearls, the second of rubies, the third of diamonds, and the fourth was made of emeralds. There was not even a single drop of water inside the dome, despite all the doors being open. Can you imagine having something, for example, let's just take a cup. If you put a cup into a bucket of water, what happens? The cup gets filled with water. How is it that Asif bin Barkhiya, rahmatullahi ta'ala, the dome he brought back with him, it had 4 doors, all the doors were open and the dome was deep inside the ocean. Yet not even 1 drop of water was inside the dome. And he says that Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam, he saw that there was a young man in the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal inside the dome. And he was reading his namaz, he was offering salah. And when he completed his salah, Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam, he said to him, he gave salam to him, and he inquired about the secrets of this oceanic dome. And he said, "O Prophet of Allah, my father was handicapped and my mother was blind. I served them for 70 years. My mother made dua before she passed away that, O Allah Azza wa Jal, give my son a long righteous life. My beloved father made dua before he passed away that, O Allah, give my son the ability to worship at such a place where the shaitan cannot even interfere with him." He says that, "I saw this oceanic dome when I came to the bank of this ocean. After the burial of my beloved father, I entered it. Meanwhile, an angel came and took this dome into the depth of the ocean. Upon asking Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam, he said that I came over here in the blessed time of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So how long has he been living in that dome? Since the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And that was hundreds of years before. Sulaiman alayhi salam, he realized that it's been 2,000 years since he has been in the Oceanic Dome. And he's still young. Not even a single hair of his had turned white. Regarding his food, he said, every day a green bird brings something yellowish in its beak. I eat it. It contains the taste of all the bounties of the world. It fulfills my hunger and thirst. In addition, alhamdulillah, I remain secure from heat, cold, sleep, laziness, drowsiness, loneliness, fear and horror. After that, upon the request of that young man and the order of Sulaiman alayhi salam, Sayyidina Asif bin Barkhiya rahmatullah alayhi, he picked up that oceanic dome and took it to the back of the depth of the ocean. My dear Islam brothers, the reason for telling you this story is how this young man who's still alive was in the oceanic dome for 2,000 years. Allah Azza wa Jal was providing risk for him. Allah Azza wa Jal was providing all the necessities that a human needs to survive. And even for 2,000 years have passed by, yet not even one of his hair has gone white. And he is still young. Why did this all happen? One thing, my dear Islam brothers, that was the dua of his parents. Ma baap ki dua. And that's what we need today. We need a blessing, we need the dua of our parents. And this is what I've chosen as my topic today. Rights and respects of parents. And it's very, very important that we know what the respect of parents are. You know, sometimes we think to ourselves, how can, and someone asked me the other day, how can someone become a Wali Allah? Many reasons. You can come be a Wali Allah through ibadat, through worship, through piety and taqwa. But with the mercy of Allah, if Allah Ta'ala wills, you can become a Wali Allah. Let's find about Sayyidina Bayezid Bistami, a very, very pious person of his time. One day it says that Sayyidina Bayezid Bistami radiallahu ta'ala anhu, as he was asleep, his mother called out to him. And she says, my son, I want a glass of water. Sayyidina Bayezid Bistami didn't say to his mom, it's cold outside, I can't be bothered. Can't you wait till the sun comes out? Can't you wait till the morning? Sayyidina Bayezid Bistami, immediately he goes outside and he gets his mom a glass of water. As he comes back in, he sees that his mom's gone back to sleep again. And then these thoughts started coming to his mind. Shall I leave the water with her next to her bed? Or shall I go to sleep? Or shall I stand here? And then after a short while, he made the decision that no, what if I go back to sleep and my mom wakes up and she asks for that water? And what if I can't hear her then? So his member, Sayyidina Bayezid Bistami radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he made the decision that he will stand here until his mom wakes him up and he will give her the water. And he says that Bayezid Bistami, he stood there in the freezing night until when the muazzin was giving the azan for Fajr. His mom, she opened her eyes and she looked at her son and she says, my son, how long have you been stood here? And Bayezid Bistami rahmatullahi ta'ala, he says, oh mother, I went to get you the glass of water when you called me. I went and I got the glass of water. And I feared that if I go back to sleep again, I might not hear you again. So therefore, I have stood here all night in the freezing so that you can have this glass of water. And my dear Islam brothers, what was the reply? When the mother, she heard this, she made a dua. She lifted her hands up and she says, oh Allah, I am pleased with my son. You be pleased with him as well. And this is, my dear Islam brothers, seriously today, when we look into our communities, when we look into our neighborhood, we see that the lack of parents, the respect our parents are getting today. What if you imagine in today's time, what if someone's parents ask for a glass of water? Then what happens? You know, we answer back to our parents, go and get it yourself. I've heard it so many times. People, young children, you know, 7, 8 years old, they're there at home playing video games, but when their parents call them, oh, we'll do it later, why don't you go yourself? I'm too busy, I don't have the time. That is what we say to our parents.
What is the right and respect of parents? Where do you learn about the respect of parents? You learn the respect of parents in the beautiful life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is the leader of all the prophets. He is the master of all the prophets. Yeah, if you look at the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how he loved and how he ordered people to love and respect their parents. Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Awan radiallahu ta'ala and whose mother called him, and while replying back to her, his voice rose a little. As a compassionate, he freed two slaves. When your parents come inside the room and you are sat there in respect, you should stand up for them. How many of us do that? You should respect up to your parents. When you go, give them salam, kiss their hands. And it says that one hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that when children look at their parents with merciful gaze, when they look at their parents with merciful eyes, Allah Azza wa Jal writes the reward of Hajj Mabroor, one Hajj accepted in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. So, sometimes you say, who wants to perform Hajj? It costs a lot of money to go for Hajj. We can get the reward of Hajj. How? By looking at your mother, by looking at your father with beautiful eyes, with a respectful gaze, look at your parents. And the companions, Alhamdulillah, you know, the companions, they would always ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One companion, he stood up and he says, Ya Rasulullah, what if someone looks at his mother 100 times a day? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, Allah is the greatest and Allah Ta'ala has everything. Allah Ta'ala will reward him with Hajj Mabroof of 100 as well. So Alhamdulillah, love and respect your parents, my dear Islam brothers. And this is an easier way of earning Hajj Mabroof. Now, being a companion, imagine someone being a companion of the Prophet of Allah on the Day of Judgment. One Sayyiduna, Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, he asked Allah Azza wa Jal, Ya Allah, who is going to be my neighbor in paradise? Mera jannat mein saathi kaun hoga? Padosi kaun hoga? And Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, Oh Musa, go to so and so town, and you will find so-and-so butcher. He is your companion in paradise. Fulan ilaqe mein chale jao, wahan par ek kasai hai. Woh kasai aapka jannat mein padosi hai. So Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, he traveled to that area. And he met up with this person. And the person, he never saw Musa alayhi salam, so he couldn't recognize him. But when he saw Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, and Musa alayhi salam said that he was a traveler. So he took him to his house. He invited him for food. When they both sat down to eat, he put a very big basket next to him. The person, when they all sat down to eat, he put a very big basket next to him. And then, what he would do, he would put one food in his mouth, and then he would put two in the basket. And Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was sat there, what is he doing? And then suddenly, they hear a knock on the door. So the person, he goes and he opens the door. Meanwhile, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he looked inside the basket. There were two old people, one man and one woman. And as soon as they looked at Musa alayhi salam, they both smiled and they testified that the prophethood of Musa alayhi salam, and they passed away instantly. Yani donu ne Musa alayhi salam ko jab dekha, muskuraye, kalima pada, aur donu fot ho gaye. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, when the butcher, he came back and he looked at his parents, both of them passed away, and then he realized. He immediately turns towards Musa alayhi salam and he started kissing his hands. He says, By Allah, are you the Prophet Musa alayhi salam? And Musa alayhi salam, he said, Yes, I am. But who told you? And he says, I swear in the name of Allah Azza wa Jal, when I saw my parents who have passed away, my mother used to always make this dua because I looked after my parents from a very young age. And my mother, she used to make dua that, Oh Allah, make Musa alayhi salam my son's neighbor in paradise. Yani mere bete ko kiski dua thi? Maa ki dua thi. Maa ne kya dua ki? Allah, mere bete ko Musa alayhi salam ka jannat mein padosi banana. And the other, he says, my father, he made the dua, Oh Allah, whenever we see the glooming face of Musa alayhi salam, Ya Allah, give us death there and then. And then I've realized that my father's dua has been accepted. Therefore, he has seen you and they both passed away. And Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, Do you know why I have come here? And the person, he says, no, I don't. And Musa alayhi salam, he says, congratulations, Allah Ta'ala has chosen you to be my neighbor in paradise. Walidain ki khidmat, one hand, a first waqia, 70 years he looked after his mother and father. And this man, when he was young, he started looking after his parents. But my dear Islam brothers, today seriously, what do we see in our community? Sadly, we are seeing care homes propping up in different places. In Pakistan, there are many, many care homes. There are many, many old people homes opening up in many, many cities in Pakistan. Why? Why is the need for a Muslim country to have care homes? It's not that people who live there, they don't have anyone there. No, it's they have their families there. But because people are so modern today, people don't have time to look after their parents. And sometimes people don't want to look after their parents. I can remember one time I myself, we went to a city in Pakistan. And we met a doctor there. And the doctor, he says, let me tell you a shocking story that I came across. He says, one person from England, because I told him I'm from England, and he says, I know someone who came from England. And he says, from that day, that thing is still in my mind, that if someone can be like this as well. He goes, he came to me and he brought his old mother with him. And he said, Dr. Saab, my mom's really ill. And I left my business, my family, my kids, my wife, I've left them in the UK. I've come here to look after my mother. I've been here for 6 months, she's not getting better. Nothing's happening. Nothing's happening, meaning she's not moving on. And the doctor, he goes, what do you want me to do? He says, Dr. Saab, I'll give you whatever you want. Give her an injection that at least she can go to the next world. Yani koi aisa injection isko lagayen ki ye khatam ho jaye taake main apni business chhod kar aaya hu. My business, I'm losing money. And the doctor, he says, I told him, get out of my sight. Can you imagine children like that? Now imagine, all of us who are sat here, majority are youngsters. Imagine when you were young, you couldn't even feed yourself. You couldn't even walk yourself. You couldn't even clean yourself. Who did this all for you? It was your parents. They looked after you when you were young. They were looking after your needs before they could even look after their needs. I got a phone call from an Islamic brother the other day. And he says, I've got a 17-year-old son. And he's very, very critically ill. And he goes, he's got some kind of a mental illness. And he's always banging his head against the wall. He's screaming. And as he was talking on the phone, I could hear screaming in the background. And he says, can you hear them screams? That's my son. No one can control him apart from me. And I'm really struggling as well. But he says, because of my son, I have a very, very high post. I'm a very, very educated person. But he goes, I have left my job just to come and look after my son. Can you imagine? That is the father who's left his job to look after his son. Why is it when it's the time for the son to look after the parents, he cannot even give one hour of his job to come home early just to see his parents? Why does this happen? You know, one thing is because we do not know what the rights and etiquettes of parents are. Hame ehsaas nahi hai hamare walidain ka rutba kya hai, hamare walidain ne hamare piche kitni mehnat ki hai. Hum is cheez ko bhool jate hain, pyare Islam bhaiyo. Think to yourself. Not far off from here, I heard a story that one woman, she was stood outside the masjid, and namazis were coming inside the masjid, zuhr namaz, asr namaz, maghrib, isha. And then after Isha namaz, they were about to lock up the masjid, and they saw that woman was still outside, sat on the wall. So one of the namazis, the caretaker, he goes, I went up to her and I said, who are you waiting for? And you've been here all day. And the old woman, she says that, I don't know where I live, but my son, because she couldn't speak English, Pakistani, and she says, I've sat here all day because my son dropped me off here, and he says he's going to come back and pick me up. He goes, I've been waiting all day, no one has come to pick me up. So they asked her, where do you live? And he goes, I don't know, I don't have the full address. But they found out and they took her to a home. They knocked on the door and the son was the one who opened the door. And the son, he looked at his mother and the people, they said, what kind of a son are you? You left your mother in the masjid and you forgot to pick her up. And you know what his words were? His words were, well, my mother, she's dead. She's passed away long ago. I don't even know this woman. Why? Why does this happen? It's because we are greedy. That is your mother. Those who are sahih, who have mothers, think to yourself, how many times have we answered our parents back? How many times your mom called you to do something, you didn't listen to your mother? You sweared at your mother. You shouted at your mother. How many times? Imagine what if your mother, she feels pain. You stay outside all night. You're wandering around the streets with your friend. But your mother is still there looking at the door when my son is going to come back home. In 2007, there was a car accident. One of family relatives. And the guy who had in a car accident, he was with his friends clubbing. They were twice over the legal limit. And they were driving and they were racing someone. And they hit a skip which was on the street. And they hit that skip head on driver. He died instantly. But this is the thing is, we hear these bayans over and over again. We have the scholars, we have people, we have elders who are telling us, don't do this, don't do this. Yet still these things happen and happen again. When his mother found out, she was in a coma. She was in a state that for so many days, she couldn't even smile, she couldn't even do anything. My son, 17-year-old, passed away. So think to yourself, next time when you're out there, and you're with your friends, and it's late at night, don't think, I've got my house keys, I can go back in home. Think about that mother as well. She will not go to sleep. Those who have mothers, if you're causing pain to your parents, you're out there chilling out with your friends, your mother will be sat at home crying. When something happens to you, you might be there, who do you call? You call your mother, don't you? And those who have mothers, what does she do? I went to an Islamic brother the other day, just to meet him, he was ill. Someone told him that you should go and visit him. I went there, I went to his house, and I saw his mother. She was in her late 80s. And her son had a car accident 30 years ago. And he is paralyzed, he couldn't even walk. And when I looked at that mother, she did everything for her son. She would cook the food for him, she would take him upstairs, she would take him everywhere. And she couldn't even walk herself. But she had that love. Imagine that mother, how much love she has for her child. Even though he's now 45 years old, that mother still calls him a baby, my son. She takes care of him. But when it comes to their turn, when it comes for the mother that she needs to be looked after, what do? Sometimes we put them on the street. I read a newspaper article, and in that newspaper article, they were talking about these beggars on the streets. In the streets of Lahore, they were talking about these beggars. And they interviewed a beggar, and he had his wife with him. They were in their late 80s as well. They had the father, the old man, he had right big glasses. That tells you how old he was. He had a crutch in his hand, and he had his old wife with him. And they interviewed them and they said to them, why are you begging on the streets? What made you come on the street? And you know the answer they said, we've been living in this town, for city for years. We grew up in this place. And he says, don't think that we don't have a home to go to. We have four sons who live in the same town, city. They are living in mansions and we are living on the streets every day. Think to yourself, those who have mothers to go back to, you're going to go back. Your mothers will be waiting for you. They will have the food ready for you. Everything will be ready for you. Those who don't have mothers to go back, think about the day and night that these people will go back home. Big homes, but no parents there. And this is, my dear Islam brothers, one of the biggest downfall in our community. At least those of us who are sat here, let's make intentions. Those who have mothers, promise yourself, make this intention. And if you have parents who don't talk to you because of what you have done to them, go into their feet. So fall into their feet and say sorry to them. Because don't you think that you can live in this world with ease and comfort whilst your parents are not pleased with you? Because if they are not pleased, Allah is not pleased. And one of the sayings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, kiss your mother's feet, you have kissed the doorstep of paradise. So my dear Islam brothers, let's make a new change. Let's change our lives. At least I can change. Then inshallah, try on your friends. Inshallah, azawajal, slowly we will see that these old people home, there's so many of them. Just want to quickly mention to you, because we live in this country, this is our country now, we live here. There was a counselor, local counselor I know, and he went into one of these care homes, and he saw an old buzurg there. And he went up to him and he says, Haji Saab, what are you doing here? And he goes, my son, one day he woke up and he goes, look dad, you're always coughing. I'm always having to take you here and there for your appointments. I don't have time. I'm going to lose my job. Therefore, I'm going to put you in a care home. And we sometimes think, yeah, I pay for that care home. You don't know what how they treat people in them care homes, because they're not theirs, are they? You know, just imagine, when you were born, instead of your parents and instead of your mother's arms, what if you were put into another person's arm? How would they treat you? They won't treat you better than your mother. So this is the same way, these care homes, they don't treat your parents better than me and you can treat them. And that buzurg, he says to the counselor, and he goes, go and tell my children. And one of the doctors, he saw him and he came and he says, it's been 3 days, he hasn't ate anything. And he goes, why don't you eat? And he goes, how can I eat? They're always giving haram things. I can't eat that. I can't eat pork. And 3 days later, he got a phone call, because children, they left him there. That's it. Forget him. And he goes, 3 days later, he got a phone call that buzurg, he is in his last moments. And that counselor, he says, I went to the care home and I could see that man breathing right heavily. And he says that he was always repeating this name. Repeating this name. And later on I found out it was his own son. But the son never came to see him. And his son passed away. The only time the son knew of his father's death is when he phoned him up and he says, look, your dad's passed away. Go and organize his janaza. That's where we're going. My dear Islam brothers, this is the mission of Dawat Islami. We need to talk about the real things that are happening in our community. And your parents, There is no substitute to a mother, there is no substitute to a father. Go to them, say sorry to them. Even if it's their fault, say sorry to them. Fall into their feet. InshaAllah, if your parents, when they be pleased with you, Allah will be pleased with you as well. May Allah Ta'ala forgive our parents. Those parents who passed away, may Allah Ta'ala forgive them. And though our parents, if they're alive, may Allah Ta'ala grant them good health. And inshallah, so a long life. Ameen bi jahin nabi al-ameen. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
O Mubalik, for you, Usman.